Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
All right, friends, we are about to get into our deep dive, and we're speaking once again about New Year budgeting and biblical principles, all right? And we're just connecting with Pastor Nelson Tshabala one final time this week to get into the subject. Now, God is not only interested in how we handle money this month or this year. He cares about the direction of our lives and the legacy that we're building. The Bible reminds us that our choices today shape our tomorrow and can even impact future generations. Money is a tool, and when used wisely, it can serve God, it can bless others, and it can build something that lasts. So let's get into this conversation with our pastor and get the final lesson that we can from this subject of New Year budgeting and biblical principles. Pastor Tshabala, good morning. Welcome back to the program.
Good morning. Thank you.
And thank you once again for joining us. This is our final session together. Would you please open for us in prayer?
For sure. Our gracious Father, we thank you again for what you are doing in our lives. And at this point in time, Father, we seek for your presence and your indulgence in our discussion this morning, that as we kickstart, may you be with us in the name of Jesus Christ and be with all the listeners. We pray in your name, Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. And as we get into our final session for this week, what kind of financial legacy would you want to leave behind? Or what kind of financial legacy should we all be aiming to leave behind?
Thinking of impact over inheritance actually flips the usual focus from just passing down material wealth to leaving a lasting effect that shapes lives and communities. However, when we go back to the Bible, from one of my favorites, scholars or leader by the name of Solomon, in the book of Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 22, he says, a good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children, highlighting the traditional idea of financial legacy. Now, expanding this thought means asking what kind of footprint you want to create. It could be, number one, financial stability, securing money or assets that support your family for generations, giving them a safety net and opportunities. Very, very important. Secondly, empowering others, teaching skills, values, or mentorship that enable people to thrive and make their own contributions by doing that, as well as community development, investing in projects, initiatives, relationships that improve the broader society, leaving a stronger, more resilient community. This is one of the things that one should actually wish to leave behind.
That's powerful. That's powerful. And I feel like that's more lasting, even the mindset that lasts longer than however much money one might leave behind. It lasts longer than how far you can stretch an actual dollar or rand or whatever a currency. That mindset goes further.
Exactly.
And how does an eternal perspective change the way that we view money?
Okay, so you see, from the scripture, when we look up in Matthew 6, verse 19 to 20, here now we find Jesus is addressing his followers, where he said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Likewise, this context emphasizes the impermanence of material wealth and the importance of prioritizing spiritual investments that yield internal rewards.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you look at that fact, it's all about the perspective of encouraging believers to reevaluate their values and affections, recognizing that earthly treasures are fleeting and vulnerable to loss, whereas heavenly treasures are secure and enduring. However, by storing up treasures in heaven, individuals align their hearts with God's kingdom, fostering a mindset of wise stewardship and generosity. Now, I have a few things just to submit forth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this shift in focus has several implications.
Okay.
The first implication is that eternal perspective. Believers are encouraged to view their lives and resources through the lens of eternity, recognizing that their time on earth is short and that their true home is in heaven. That is the first implication.
Right.
The second implication is that stewardship, recognizing that all resources are gifts from God, in that believers are called to manage their wealth and possessions wisely, using them to advance God's kingdom and save others. That is one of the principles. Then the third one is that generosity as believers, as Christians, we should prioritize heavenly treasures. They are more likely to be generous and open-handed, recognizing that true fulfillment and security come from giving, not getting. So giving under this aspect is very cardinal. Priorities. Another implication, priorities. Yeah. This perspective prompts believers to reevaluate their priorities, ensuring that their time, energy, and resources are focused on what truly matters. Someone should underline that word, on what truly matters. Serving God and loving others. The first one is serving God and loving others. So we, by storing up treasures in heaven, we believers and those who are listening out there, we can experience a deeper sense of purpose, joy, and fulfillment, knowing that our investments are yielding eternal rewards. Amen. Yielding eternal rewards.
Amen. That's powerful. And what are the ways that our finances can be used to serve God and how and to serve others as well?
So, number one, when we look at that that phrase, very, very important phrase in the question, and tithes and offerings. You see, when we read Malachi chapter 3, verse number 10, you know, giving back to God a portion of what is given you. So always, no one under this earth can say, God has never given me anything. Each one of us, we have been given something from God. And so God himself is commanding us to give a portion of what he has given us. So it's about trusting and gratitude, acknowledging God as the source. You see, it's very important and it's normal to acknowledge that for me to be here, for me to experience the life that I'm experiencing is because of the love of God. So we need to show that gratitude. Then the other thing is that supporting missions, charities, when you read Galatians chapter 6, verse number 10, doing good to others, especially those in need. It's about spreading, kindness and making a difference. Helping those in need, helping those in need. When you help the poor, it's like lending to God and he repays. I repeat that one. When you help someone who is in need, it's like you are lending to God and he repays. That that's how it is. Therefore, investing also ethically, making money choices that are fair and just, reflecting God's values.
Sure. That's beautiful. Yeah. And what are the habits that we can create today, that we can start today, that will shape our financial futures?
Sure. So one of the habits that we need to inculcate is that, number one, budgeting and tracking expenses. Okay. You know, you should plan your spending. Okay. Then saving consistently. Prepare for the future. Very, very important. Prepare for the future and saving consistently. You know, as Christians and as believers, this should be in our minds and this should be dotted in our diaries, on our papers, that we should be investing. However, we should also ensuring that avoiding unnecessary debt. Stay financially free. And giving intentionally, give with a cheerful heart. Very, very important. As a believer, we need to make sure that we stay financially free. Very, very important.
Amen. Amen. I love that. And I think what I enjoy the most, and what's the most impactful in this conversation that we've had this entire week, is that even as we're speaking about financial principles and financial responsibility, that we're not, it's not even so much about the actual money. It's not so much about the finances themselves. It's so much deeper than that. And I think that that's a very important perspective. It's an important view, because we often get caught up in that. And in any, you know, conversations about financial responsibility, it always ends up being about, you know, the amount in the bank and how much you're actually making. We're not looking at the eternal perspective. And that's why I think that's the difference that I'm seeing in this conversation in particular. And as we're wrapping it up, what are some, or maybe let's just narrow it down to one practical change that you can, or that we can commit to in order to make this year a different year from all the ones in the past? We've always had the resolution, I'm going to save this much every month. I'm going to invest this much. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to, you know, fight for a raise or whatever. We're always so focused on the finances, very quite specifically. But with everything that we've discussed this week, what is one practical change that you would encourage us to commit to in order to make this year different, to make this year stand out from the others?
Yeah, thank you very much. And before I bring in that the gist of this fact, I want to make an emphasis that when we are dealing with money and budgeting, you know, planning, many a time we complicate the simplicity. But I want us to grasp this simple fact. Number one, start small. Start small. Maybe it is setting aside a specific amount, a specific amount for saving or giving weekly. Just that small amount of money. Okay, I'm telling you, and even those listeners out there, when you start small from a little that you have, don't even start from a lot. Don't even start from, you know, cross amount of money. Just from small things. What will come out, the product of starting from small will be that gigantic, will be that big. And in a nutshell, I want to submit this, that of all things, you need to inculcate the ideology, which is very ideal, that identify one area for improvement and take action. You know, we have a problem. You may have the ability to identify your area of weakness. You know, each one of us, we have our area of weakness and our area of strength. And so when you identify your area of weakness, you need to improve.
Pastor, are you still there?
Okay, so I was saying that that improvement and taking action should go together.
Right.
So you need to identify one area for improvement. And when you identify the area of improvement, please, don't forget to take the action to start working on it.
Beautiful. I love that, because many of us on the planning side, fine, we can have the ambition, we can have the goal or the plan and all of that, but the execution part is where it becomes tricky. And then our plans just remain on paper and we never actually put any action behind it. Thank you so much, Pastor. Before we let you go, any final thoughts, any final words you want to share with us on the subject? Maybe something you might want to emphasize from the week that has passed that we touched on earlier on, or something we might have missed? This is your time.
I just want to bring the word of God that in whatever that you are doing, begin with God. Mm. Because when you begin with God, indeed, God will never disappoint you. Remember when Jesus was on the boat and they were crossing over, the disciples, they actually began a journey with Jesus. And when even at the midst of the sea, when the challenges arose, Jesus stood for them. So if we begin with God in our plannings for this year, mm-hmm. I'm telling you that even at the midst of the challenges, where the winds will blow, God will stand with us. Mm-hmm. So we need to begin with God, because God, He is the beginning and He is the ending. He is the Alpha and He is the Omega.
Amen. Amen. Powerful. Thank you so much, Pastor. Maybe before we let you go, if you would pray for us as we wrap this all up.
Thank you. Our mighty Father, we thank you for this wonderful week that you had given us, and you had allowed us to have a discussion and where we have discussed some of the words from your Bible, which were inspired by your holy men. How we pray is that whatever that we have discussed, may they become into reality. Because when they become into reality, Father, we are going to flourish in our lives. And I also dedicate that may this program reach far, and may you intervene, because your presence, Father, is so powerful. Mm-hmm. And we thank you because you are so merciful. You have grace upon our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Chabala. It's been a blessing speaking with you this week. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sabbath.
Thank you.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.